Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Famous last words. Many people have them. A professor has a last lecture. A preacher has a final sermon. Some people have these recorded in history, and some people are famous for not their last words, but are famous for their words in general. But it's not just the so-called famous people who have famous last words in our own minds and hearts. How about that last conversation you had with a loved one before they passed on? Maybe it was a spouse or a grandparent or a friend, and you remember that conversation deeply and it has an impact on you. The reality is that these famous last words have an impact on us, and we want to pay attention to what they are because they mean so much to us. Now, it's not just these people who have famous last words, but Jesus had some famous last words as well. And we want to pay attention to what he said in those moments because they're very important. Now, you might be saying to yourself, shouldn't we pay attention to all of Jesus' words? And to that, I would say, yes, we should absolutely pay attention to Jesus, all of his teachings. But some of his famous last words, some of his last words that he shared with his disciples, are extra important because of when he said them and why he said them. And some of his last words were shared with his disciples have a direct impact because he was sharing with them these words because he was no longer going to be with them. Now, they might not have known this, and they might not have appreciated that, but he knew that he was having some of his final moments with them, and so he shared them with them. And because they were shared with the disciples when he was no longer going to be with them, that's how important they were, but that's also why they applied to us, because they were teachings about what life was going to be like after Jesus was no longer with them. And you and I, well, we're in that same period of time where Jesus is no longer with us in that way, and we are living out the journey of faith. So these particular last words that Jesus shared with his disciples, he shared with them during the Last Supper. And the Last Supper was one of the events of Holy Week, and we are getting ready to celebrate Holy Week in a couple of weeks here. So in our journey in preparation to understand what Holy Week, what Easter really means, we can anchor ourselves in some of these last words that Jesus taught because they came to us, they came to his disciples during his Last Supper. And specifically in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, Jesus gives some teachings that are very helpful and that are his famous last words. Now, it is true that Jesus came back and from the dead from his resurrection and had some time with his disciples. And we have some really amazing stories of what he did at that time. But we don't have a record of any of the specific teachings. And maybe that's because the famous last words that he shared at the Last Supper meant so much to his disciples that they were the stories that kept being told and eventually written down. So what are these famous last words that Jesus was offering to his disciples at that time? Well, let me set the stage a little bit for what that looked like. Now, they didn't know what was going on, but Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And in this particular Passover, Jesus started with something very different than he'd ever done before. And he, according to the Gospel of John, he washes their feet. The ultimate sign of servanthood and the ultimate humiliation that people would have to do these kinds of acts towards other people. I mean, you think feet are gross now? Feet were awful back then. But Jesus washed his disciples' feet and then dried them off. And then they sat down and started participating in the Passover meal. Now, during this Passover meal, Jesus would then identify to the disciples that Judas was going to betray him. And Judas then left the room, and then after Judas had left, Jesus launched into this teaching that he gave to them. And the beginning of it was this cryptic warning that he was going away and that they were not going to be able to follow him. And after he had set the stage, he gives them the first of one of these teachings that are part of his famous last words. And he starts off by telling them this. He says, "Let me give you a new command," to which the disciples would have said, "Okay, we can do that. You're the teacher, we can listen." And here's what Jesus said, and here's the new command I give to you: love one another. Now, when the disciples would have heard this, they would have been able to understand, sure, we can do this. you know, we like each other, this little small group, you know, and it's not a problem, you know. And, you know, I might not be best friends with everybody, but we get along. But Jesus didn't stop there. He went further and he said, in the same way I loved you, you love one another. To which the disciples would have probably looked at each other and said, is he serious? But like in typical Jesus fashion, he didn't stop there. He went on to tell them why this was important. He said, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. The fact of the matter is that Jesus then teaches his disciples what he wants of them when he is no longer with them. He wants them to love one another as Jesus had loved them, but for a specific reason. And that reason was so that other people would know that they were his followers. Now, the disciples would have been okay with loving one another in that little circle. But what Jesus was saying to them is that the love that he had for them and the love that he wanted to have for other people was going to go to a whole much bigger group. And so Jesus was instructing them on what he wanted them to do, but he was also telling him why he wanted to have them do this. You know, it's that why behind the what that's so important. And the why behind the what Jesus taught was this. It was the way that they treated one another was how people would know that they were followers of Jesus. Now, why does this matter? Because that's what Jesus wanted for them, is not just to love one another in that little group, but to love one another in a whole broader sense. What Jesus was saying is that following him, following Jesus, is the first step that he wants us to take, but that's not the only step. Helping others to follow Jesus is the next step. And it actually isn't just the next step, it's all the steps after that. Because what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to start with loving one another, but then to start loving all the people in our lives. One of the things that Jesus' disciples were struggling with at that time, and people still struggle with today, is that they thought that the love that they were supposed to share was just with a small group of people, just a small circle of individuals. And when you think that love is meant for just a small group of people, then you can understand readily how you might love one another. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus was teaching his disciples then and reminds us through this teaching that the love of God was never only meant for a select group of people, but that the love of God was only ever meant for all people. And if that's true, then you can't stop with loving just that little group, but you have to continue loving all the people in your life. Now, Jesus wants this to be true in the lives of the disciples then, and wants this to be true of his followers now, because he wants the love that he has for them and for us and for all people to be known by all people. And to make sure that's going to happen, we have to make sure that we are sharing that love not only in our private lives, but in our public lives, so that other people can see our love, so that they can know that we love them because we are followers of Jesus. Because if we are loving Jesus and loving others, that's the first step, but then we take that next step and help others do the same. Now, I know this gets some people nervous because they don't like to share their faith, or they don't want to showboat, or they don't want to be penned as a Christian, one of those crazy people. And the truth of the matter is Jesus does teach us that our faith is supposed to be practiced in private, but also it's supposed to be practiced in public. Jesus did teach very clearly that when we pray, we are supposed to pray in private so that we're not trying to impress anybody, but trying to praise God. Jesus also teaches if we're fasting that we're supposed to make ourselves look like we aren't fasting, so we're not drawing attention to ourselves, rather that our attention can be drawn to God. And so what Jesus teaches about that is this. He says that Jesus teaches us to practice our personal spiritual disciplines in private, but Jesus teaches us to practice our love in public. And not so we can have attention drawn to ourselves again, but so that it can be attention drawn to God. Now, the fact of the matter is, when we think about this, we are at times wondering, well, how do I love? I know that I'm supposed to love, and I know why now that I'm supposed to love is so that others might know that I'm a follower of Jesus, so that I can help them be a follower of Jesus, which is another way of saying to help the world become the place that God wants it to be. But so often, I think we find ourselves asking ourselves, what does this love look like? Now, there's a million different ways that we can practice our love in our lives. We can show kindness. We can be good. We can show self-control. We can show extension where we don't keep a record of wrongs. And if we pursued just those things, we could be pursuing love in an unending way. But those sometimes can be the starting point. But maybe a question you might be asking is, how can I show love in public more? By public, we mean, how can you show love to your friends, to your family, to your coworkers, the people that are in your everyday lives? Not everybody is called to go and use a bullhorn or a platform or to be a public figure, you know, that lots of people hear from. But all of us are called to share love in our daily, everyday lives. And so maybe you're asking, how can I love these people better? And maybe a question or a series of questions you could ask them to understand better how to show them love are a couple of these questions. You could ask yourself, will my actions bring them joy? And if the answer is yes, then that action you're going to embody is love. You could ask them, will my actions bring them peace? And if your actions are bringing them peace, then that is bringing them love. You could ask, will my actions bring them relief? If you can bring them relief, you are bringing them love. Or will my actions bring them freedom? Freedom from a myriad of things. If your actions are going to bring them freedom, then you are bringing them love. These are some of the ways that we can help them experience the love that God has for them, because God has given us that love first. So when you're facing yourself with these questions of how do I love better, you can ask yourself, how can I bring them joy, peace, relief, or freedom? And if you can bring them one of these gifts, joy, peace, relief, or freedom, then you are bringing love into their life. And then you are loving them as Jesus loved them. You're loving them as Jesus loved you first. And you're loving one another in a way that will help people know that you are following Jesus. Jesus gives us these last words because Jesus wants us to know how to live when he is no longer with us, leading us in that way. Just like the disciples needed that teaching then, we need to be reminded of that right now as well. We need to be reminded of that in this very moment because these words matter to us, because these words help us to then love one another when we follow them. So let us remember the famous last words of Jesus. Let's remember them and not forget them. Let's remember them so we can help bring about joy and relief and freedom and peace in the world today. Because that's what Jesus wants for us, and that's what Jesus wants for the world.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.